independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This budget, along with the relentless attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, shows an unimaginable level of cruelty and lack of imagination and disdain for the struggles of millions of Americans, including millions of children, every single day.
That is the lady who came in second place and who wanted to be president, but she lost. We'll call her Hillary Clinton.
Wah, 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 wah.
CBO, their score came out today. Congressional Budget Office. Not very exciting. I keep it simple, stupid. That's what I do here. What it does is it projects out and tries to look at what would happen should the ACHA take over for the ACA, which is the new Trump Care takes over for Obamacare. Well, they looked, they did the math, they looked out, they say about 23 million Americans in 10 years will be without health care, give or take a few. Again, this is all forecasting, it's not an exact science. But they throw it out there based on what they have right now. Would save money. It would. Would eventually drive premiums down. It would. But 23 plus million Americans would be without health care. Now, many of those may be by choice, right? I don't know how many. Could be 5 million. Could be 10 million. Could be more who say, yeah, I don't want to pay for it. But this is what is going to be bantered about over the next 24, 48 hours, because it's perfect fodder, right? And they think they've got the president down. They think they've got him down and out. They think they've got this Russia thing pinned against him, and it's driving him crazy. They think they've got this Flynn thing along with Russia, and what did they know? Did he lie, this, that, and the other? They think they've got that. They think they've got him pinned down. It's over. It is. They think they've got the tax thing, and now this is it. They're ready to come in for the kill.
Trump care means higher costs and less care for the American people. For the good of the country, Republicans in the Senate should reject this path and work with Democrats to fix our health care system instead of pulling the plug on it. CBO report makes clear your premiums are heading up for the next several years if Trump care passes. 20% increases in 2018, 5% following year.
They're going up now. And by the way, as I have mentioned before, all the while, Democrats, you didn't do anything to try to fix what you broke. You did nothing. Zero, zilch, nada. We insured more Americans. We gone from what? 14.2% to like 10.9%? We didn't go from 14% of uninsured Americans down to 1%. You drove up the cost. You gave people less choice and more expensive plans. And you passed a law. You didn't give anybody health care. You gave them a card, of which the government funds a lot of. You didn't give anybody health care. Let's understand that. You did not do any of that. And you took away many choices, and you jacked the pooch, and you had much more time in the last 7.5 years to come to the Republicans and say, we jacked this thing up. We got to figure out how to fix it because it's not doing what we thought it was going to do. But you sat there and you smiled because you knew the Republicans couldn't do anything about it. But you still allowed the American people to suffer through this giant turd burglar you handed the American people.
Now, Republicans are crowing about premiums going down in the outer years. That's because the coverage is so bad. Of course, the premiums go down. But you get almost no coverage. Cheaper insurance isn't going to help anyone if it doesn't actually cover you when you're ill.
Okay, that sounds good. Right, that sounds good. You're getting bad coverage. Well, no. Hold on a second here. How about this? I'm getting the coverage that I need, not the coverage you're telling me I have to have. I'm a 46-year-old man. I got man parts. I don't need maternity coverage. Right? I don't. I'm just throwing that out there. You tried to make it blanket. People want a la carte. How do we view our television now? It's a la carte, right? It's what we like. I want to pick and choose. I want to do the same thing with healthcare. I want to do the same thing with healthcare. I want to be able to go, I like that. I like that. I need that. That's it. I don't need anything more. I don't go to the doctors all the time. For healthy people, for younger people, the premiums are going to go down. For older people, they're probably going to go up. Why? Because of the risk factor. The older you get, the more health problems you have. That's why the more young, healthy people you have inside of a marketplace, the more it spreads around risk, which brings the premiums down altogether. Now, are you going to give me choice? That's what I really want. I want choice. I want to be able to shop where I want to shop. Don't tell me I can only buy here if I can go across state lines and get it cheaper. Let the marketplace handle the cost and watch what happens. But too often than not, we don't get that. And I don't know if we're going to get it. I really don't. I don't know if we're going to get what we're hoping for, what a lot of people have hoped for. And they're going to talk about they're taking away pre-existing if you let it lapse. They're going to take away pre-existing. No, that's wrong. They're going to charge you more. Again, get it all right. Can they charge you more? Yes. A premium that can go up by 30% if you let it lapse, but they can only do that for a year. Then it has to come back down. But you can still get. They're going to throw all of these things out there. But remember, it's rare that you get the entire truth. Is it going to be more expensive? The potential's there. I'm not going to say it's not. Is it going to be better? Potential's there. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm not going to say it is and isn't. I don't know. But what I do know is what we have right now isn't working. The only reason Obamacare is somewhat popular right now is because people are afraid. They don't know. They don't know what potentially could happen. So they're scared because they'd rather stick with the better the devil you do than the devil you don't. That's what is going on there. But something's got to be done. And you sitting around for 6.5, 7 years while this thing floundered and you knew where it was going, and now you want to come to the table. By the way, the senators have been sitting around waiting for this thing to come out. Now that they've got it, they're going to go back. And Mitch McConnell said, look, there's no way we're getting 50 votes. There's no way. We're going to have to change this up. We're going to have to do a lot of things. And the battle's going to be in the Senate. And they got different rules. And it's going to be weird to see how these, you know, work together because of the disdain for Trump and the fight that's going to be down there. But I think in the end, hopefully calmer, cooler heads prevail and they do the right thing for the American people as a whole, not the usual crap that we've seen over and over again when it comes to partisan politics.
We've made 3 further arrests in connection with attacks overnight. And this afternoon, we entered an address in Manchester city centre using a controlled explosion.
They have now arrested 7 people in connection with terrorist activities when it comes to what took place at Manchester Arena the other night at the Ariana Grande concert. 7 include the father and brother. The father says his son is innocent. We said, well, you know what? You go tell him that. If you could find him, he's all over. The other brother apparently has kind of confessed to everything and told him that this is what they were planning on doing. He was heading off to Libya, was going to go to Tripoli. He was going to be a suicide bomber. His plans have since been derailed. And they have arrested another 3 or 4, including a female. I don't know what her connection is. But as a lot of people are saying, it is a much larger and wider group of people that were participating in this, and people knew. So, you know, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but apparently we leaked some stuff that we weren't supposed to leak. We knew who the bomber was, and their person over there, who's kind of their Homeland Security, Home Secretary person who's, you know, cross between the Homeland Security slash what Tillerson and Secretary of State, was pissed, saying, how dare you leak stuff? But they were getting information from us. So I don't know, you know, what goes on from here, what kind of crackdown, but you knew they were going to be kicking indoors. They've raised about $2.5 million or so far for the victims. We were talking earlier. How do you dispense that? Who does that? Like, if I start a GoFundMe page, how do you even, like, you give me $2 million, can I just give it to a person? Right? Because Phil and I are like, she's hot, let's give it to her. This is horrible. But, like, how do you decide who gets what? And, you know, I mean, that to me is I found it weird. But they've raised $2.5 million. And, again, it shows the kind of humanity that people can have out there. When you'll go and you'll help people that you don't know. You saw that the other night with people who were scared, who wanted to get off the streets. The homes in Manchester were wide open. People were going in, and their homes were open. People that were strangers were becoming, there was a bond there. They were helping people who were, you know, people were taking nails out of people because of the shrapnel. It was good to see the humanity there. And it shows you that we're, for all of the craziness, the screaming, the yelling, the lunacy, we're far more human and connected to one another than the depraved act of a loser. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program 323-538-2423. The president met with the Pope. Little P&P. The Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson loves lemonade. No wonder his show is two parts tart to one part sweet. Time for a refill. Cheers.
I don't personally know anyone who was even at the concert last night, but it's just, I don't know, I've not stopped crying all day. I feel like it's my family that's been affected, even though it's not. It's, like Jan was saying, this city of Manchester, it's just incredible. I'd like to try and do whatever we can. We've been trying to volunteer at the Etihad, because we heard calls for volunteers there this morning, but I think everyone's just trying to do what they can, really. Even if they're not personally affected, everyone feels like they are.
And brings the community together. That is a person who donated blood. If you don't understand him, he's got a Mancunian accent. Very good Mancunian accent, by the way. That's what they call it, Manchester Mancunians. And the Etihad is a stadium. It's a giant stadium there. And it's also an airline. And it just shows the humanity. People come together, right? We rally around. How many times? We saw it after the incident that took place in Orlando, the horrific incident at the Pulse nightclub. These are things that brings human beings together. You don't have to know somebody to be touched, right? You see all the people that have gone out and they've laid roses out there and flowers and all of those kind of, and the rose is very symbolic, you know, because of the English rose, very symbolic thing. And to see the roses everywhere, it's, you know, it really is one of those, you know, things where you see the humanity and what people are willing to do. And that's action. Too many times we see people who go online and they're all lip service, right? They're keyboard cowboys, social justice warriors. They're not really into action. They're, slacktivists, right? This is reactionary. And that to me shows you again that we are far closer to each other and connected to each other than these people would want us to believe. And I think it just shows you that when given the opportunity, when there's a trying time, a tragedy, and humanity is tested, that humans will come through. As sick and depraved as so many people are out there, it's not as many as you think. And most people, I think, deep down, are good human beings and good people. The Pope and the president, little P&P, he's dynamite. They met today. They did. They got together. Trump said he was moved. He was touched. It changed him. Pope gave him a book about climate change, which I'm sure he won't read. That's the pop-up book. he's doing stuff. He ain't got time to read some. You know what I did like? Wouldn't it be hilarious if the Pope gave him a book about climate change and he gave him a book about the art of the deal? Signed. But the only thing I took away from today is the picture, right? It's the picture. If you've not seen the picture, It is for all of it. They take 1,000 pictures of these things. And the one that CNN splashed out there for the world to see was what? First and foremost, you have the Pope standing there with kind of a look on his face, a little grimacy. Secondly, there's Trump next to him, towering over him, smiling with these cartoon-esque chiclets for teeth, right? That are bright as can be. You're almost waiting for it to go ding as he smiles, you know, that little spot, ding. Then you've got the ladies. You've got Melania and you've got Ivanka, and they are dressed as if they're going to a funeral from the 1800s, like one of those creepy funerals, and they've got their black veils on. Like, it's one of those pictures where, like, is that a ghost? And they're not smiling either. So the only one smiling in the picture is Trump. But he said he took away from the meeting that the Pope and him talked briefly, privately. The Pope said something to him. He said that changed him and that it really was meaningful. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I think he's the Trumpster. I think he genuinely thought it was meaningful. I think he'll take it to heart, but I think in the end, he's still Trump. He's still going to do Trump stuff. But it was interesting to see. And by the way, nobody caught fire. There wasn't, you know, they didn't try to ward the demons out of him or any of that stuff. I think it was a good meeting and it was what it was supposed to be, right? And I think it's good that Trump's out of here. I think it takes some of the pressure off. He looks a little bit refreshed from the media spotlight and all of that fishbowl-like world that is D.C. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program. Please, 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 please do. 323-538-2423. You can also email us. That's like old school now, email. Like email, what is that? Do you have to put a stamp on that? No, it's just, you know, you can just text me. Or you can email us, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. We got budget. We got a little Facebook news. Where do you hear what can and can't be on Facebook and what they will and won't allow? Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
And for those who've been here for a long time, you know that it's been a long time since the president's budget has balanced. It certainly hasn't happened since I arrived in Washington, D.C. in 2010.
That right there, Mick Mulvaney, he's kind of like the budget dude, right? He's budget czar guy. We haven't had a balanced budget. We need one. We're trying to get there. Skinny budget. It's about cuts in life. People are going to have to make cuts. Austerity measures. We're going to have to tighten the belt. It's horrible, I know. We don't want to tighten the belt. It's not what we want to do. We want to be free-flowing. We want to spend everybody else's money, other people's money. OPM, baby. I'm going to take from you. This is the funny thing. I'm going to take from you. You're a customer that is going to voluntold me. I voluntold you to give me your money, and I'm going to give it to other. I'm going to treat you like crap as I do it, and then I'm going to give it out to other customers. So I'm going to treat the customer that pays my salary like crap and give it out to the people who just want. Feeding the baby birds, kids. Feed the baby birds. Baby birds, baby birds, baby birds. And I talk about the budget because it's frustrating. As a taxpayer, as an American, I found nothing wrong and untoward. And there was a bishop who had a big rally today, said that essentially this budget is about ethnic cleansing. I heard another person, I don't know which Democrat it was, that said that somebody is going to die because of this budget. A little hyperbole there. I mean, is that as insane? Do we find that insane? Is that just a little much? Right? And the word evil and villainous is tossed around. This is Washington State Democratic Representative Pramila Jayapal.
The Trump budget is shockingly extreme. the antithesis of what the American people have said they want from their government.
What do they want from their government? What American people are you talking to? Because you're not talking to me. I want a streamlined government that uses the money that they take from us in a fiduciary manner, in such a way, and it uses that fiduciary responsibility by doing the things they're supposed to do, by keeping us safe, by taking care of the infrastructure of this country, by taking care of the men and women who serve our country, by locking up the borders here, whether through a wall or actually enforcement of wall laws, you know, the stuff that you're supposed to do. Chuck Schumer said the other day, I don't know how many, so many of these Trump supporters vote against their own best interest. Well, how many liberal Democrats also vote against their best interest? Why do you never talk about that? Because in the end, all you are is a customer. I'll remind you that every day. You're a customer. If we could write Yelp reviews, what would your Yelp review of the government be? It's a very fair question. It is. But the overall thing here is this budget is it's yesterday they talked about it, how cruel it is. But yet it's about getting people off these things, right? It's about getting people off of food stamps. It's about getting them off of low rent housing and stuff. It's about not paying for stuff. It's about taking that hand up, not the hand out, and then getting yourself in a better position where you can go, I don't need you anymore. Thank you for the safety net. Thank you for the help. Right? That's what you want. But that's not what they want. Because again, you're a customer. And if you don't have customers, then you have no reason for being. That's the insanity of it all. So what you're going to see over the next several weeks as this battle rages on are stories like this.
I'm a working mom, so it's not like I'm a welfare recipient sitting home not doing nothing.
Myra Young is a nurse's assistant in Philadelphia who gets $100 worth of food stamps a month. Her son relies on Medicaid.
My tax money pays for my food stamps, and you don't even give me enough to feed my children.
Why do I have to feed your children? I'm just curious. I think all kids should have food. I'm not one of those people, but I'm asking you, why is it my responsibility to feed your child? I think it's a very fair question to ask. And when we hear about taxes, we know that a good portion of this country doesn't pay taxes, and usually those are people who are in the lower income level, the poverty level. So what taxes are you paying that are going for the food stamps? Why don't you just say, just give me the money? I won't even pay my taxes because then I'll pay for the food stamps. I'll just pay for the food myself. I'm curious. Again, not trying to be a jerk, asking a question that I think is a fair question. It's a very fair question. And this is the battle we're going to have. And the narrative is going to be old white men hate poor people in America. The budget's evil, blah, 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 blah. That's what it's going to be. Old rich white men, who, by the way, are going to be accused by other old rich white men of hating the poor. I don't hate the poor. Mm-mm. But I think it's fair to ask the question. How can we get people off these things and get them into prosperity? And get them into a situation where they're no longer surviving, they're thriving in life. Now, I don't know what that is, right? But I think it's a fair question to ask. But too often you can't ask that because you get accused to be a racist or this, that, and the other. And it's just, it's a bunch of crap. It is. This budget's a skinny budget. That's what they're calling it. And it's going to be torn apart. And it's not going to look like what you've seen. But the narrative's already being built. That Trump's evil, blah, 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 blah. White men are evil, blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing. You could write the narrative over and over again. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And the budget can't be evil. It's a non-entity. It's not evil. It's not. Budget's evil. It's not evil. It's here to kill. How's it here to kill? It's going to get people into poverty. That's what it's doing. People are going to get poverty all over them. Oh, my God, I got poverty on me. What's that mean? I don't know. Can you get it? No, you can't get it off. You got to go to the government. They're going to give you free stuff. It's like penicillin. They're going to give you stuff. That gets the poverty off? I don't know. You may just have to live. It's like herpes. You're going to have to live with it forever. Oh, no. Yeah. That's what it's crazy. It's the way they're going to make you feel. Facebook. Well, there was Facebook had a leak. And, you know, people ask the question, you know, Facebook Live, what should or shouldn't be on there as far as content goes? So for whatever reason, this memo has been leaked, and The Guardian published details of the content moderation guidelines covering controversial issues such as hate speech, violence, self-harm, and they basically culled this from 100 different training manuals, spreadsheets, and flowcharts, and what they will and won't allow. Now, if you threaten to kill the president, they don't allow that. They take it off. But they leave some violence on there, right? They were allowing people to self-harm themselves. And they said one of the reasons they want to do that is because they don't want to censor or punish people who are in distress. They're comfortable with showing animal cruelty. As long as it's not extremely upsetting. Where is the, oh, you crossed the line there. You cross, like, where's that cross your line? Right? They said the guidelines from the internal moderation show, for example, Facebook allows the sharing of some photos, non-sexual child abuse, such as bullying, right? Depiction of bullying is okay. You know, maybe sadistic or celebratory element, as long as it's not overly violent. So people, how many times you've seen a kid getting whooped up by their mom or dad or some of this stuff? So, you know, this is the whole thing. The guidelines allow, though, ways for people who essentially try to have revenge porn. For example, this type of content is to be removed by Facebook, requires three conditions to be fulfilled, including that of moderator who confirm a lack of consent via vengeful context or from an independent source such as a news report. Last year, there's apparently 54,000 potential cases of revenge porn just in a single month. But normally, it's not like that. So these are some of the things. You know, if you beat your kid, it's okay. If you hurt an animal, it's okay. If you're self-harming somebody, raping somebody, killing somebody, it seems to be all good. But hate speech... depending on the country, mind you. Austria got them to remove some stuff that was hate speech. Isn't it weird? So if somebody wants to kill themselves or tries to kill themselves, we don't want to censor them. What is that about? I was curious. Like, where? Like, what? Ugh. Goodness me. It's so insane. But this is what happens. This is what happens when you hand people the opportunity to be their own director in their own film, in their own world, that they're going to abuse it and they're going to be stupid. And you're supposed to be the Motion Picture Association of America and decide whether or not it's and it's all based on what? You've hired a bunch of people for $15 an hour who want to work at Facebook, and they're going to sit around looking at crap all day, and they're going to make the judgment calls? Yeah. Yeah. I think you need to tighten up the guidelines there. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there, kids. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chatbensonshow.com. You, a business owner, human resources person, the hiring manager, you're looking around, and you're like, man, I got positions I need filled. I'm going to go and place an ad on whatever. Go ahead. How's that worked for you in the past? Well, it's not worked very well, Chad. How about you do this, all right? Just humor me for a second. I'm even giving you an opportunity to do it for free. Head over to ZipRecruiter.com. You see, with ZipRecruiter, you're going to have a chance to place your ad in many places. Many. 100-plus job sites, including social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. That's a great, right? One or many. One or many. Which one do you think you're going to have more opportunity and luck with? Bam. You're going to be able to find candidates in any city, in any industry, whatever it is, nationwide. You will find the candidate. All you have to do is post once, watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface, and this is why it's so important. You don't have to worry about juggling emails or calls to your office. You quickly screen the candidates, you rate them, and then you hire the right person fast. Boom. Time is money. You just saved it. Find out why ZipRecruiter's been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses like your own. And right now, listeners of The Chad Benson Show, I told you at the beginning of this, opportunity to place your ad for free. This is what I want you to do. You go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. You place your ad for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/report. Place your ad for free today. Kim Kardashian's getting smashed in social media, and it's kind of stupid. Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
So people are Kim Kardashian because she tweeted out the other night, concerts are supposed to be a place where you can let loose and have fun. So scary to not feel safe in this world. At Ariana Grande, I love you. And so finally, after people just tore her apart, She got upset and she deleted it. Like, she wasn't trying to be mean or callous. She was trying to say something. She even posted a picture of her and Ariana Grande hanging out one night. For God's sakes, let it go. Why do you always have to have an opinion on something? I hate those people. And why do you always have to be right? That's why you're not rich, by the way. I'm going to explain to you why you're not rich. Because your dream is to always be right. You always have to tell somebody what they're doing wrong. She sends out a tweet, so you barrage her. You made it about you. That's what all of you do. That's what every human being does. Prince dies, what do I see? 15,000 million memes about R.I.P. Prince. You're the greatest of all time. And then a story of why you're the greatest. It's about you. Look at me. I feel sad. Prince is dead. David Bowie's dead. Roger Moore's dead. Doris Day, still not dead, even though we talked about her. She is a fighter, Anthony. Because those of you who are new to the show, whenever I usually mention somebody in the world of fame like that, just out of nowhere for no reason, as I did to Doris Day the other day, usually it's that starts the clock ticking on when it may end for them. But she's still fighting along, and good for that. But it does drive me crazy. It does. Because I look at this and I think to myself, and this is just good. This is beyond her, right? You made it about you. It's like, I'm sure those same people probably said the same thing. Oh, you got robbed and tied up. You made that about you. You know, you made it about you because you would have to go and do something like that. It's insane. Just let it go. Please, just let it go. Enough of this. You know, whether it was those girls we talked about earlier from who went down to Mexico and saw how these ladies were making tortillas and they were opening up their own pop-up shop called Kook's Burritos in Portland, Oregon. And people thought, oh, they've appropriated somebody else's culture and stole their idea and their recipes and came up here. And now we need to make sure we get rid of them because that's the best thing to do. Stop making it. That's about you. That's about you. Stop making it about you. These two girls didn't do a damn thing. They tried to be entrepreneurial, and you did what? You went after them? Does it make you feel better that you put them out of business? Well, the people of color, they are happy that they're out of business. Well, if that's the truth, if we're going to do that from now on, if we're gonna go after people for all of the indignities we see in the world. By the way, I want to ask you guys a question for all of you out there who like that because you've culturally appropriated and stole somebody else's idea or whatever. You posting stuff with your Apple or using your Microsoft stuff, you might want to rethink that just for a second because, yeah, little thievery. I'm pointing it out, just putting it out there for you. Those in glass houses, right? Those in glass houses. But we always have to go and attack somebody because we think that's the best thing to do. That's your social justice warrior. That's your keyboard cowboy. I got to go defend somebody who doesn't need to be defended. I have news for you. Those ladies in Mexico don't know those two ladies set up a pop-up shop and still don't. It's like the time everybody freaked out over that Cecil the Lion in Zimbabwe. And then they talk to the cultural affairs minister in Zimbabwe. And she's like, who is this Cecil the Lion that everyone is upset about? You had to go defend some lion that nobody cared about. People have bigger problems. If you really care about people, and that's what you want, then you go out and you do it. You find a way to be active and actually doing some good, when all the time what I see more and more is people bitch with no action behind it. Sad but true. Solid show today. Waffle Wednesday, which we've appropriated from the Belgians, but they're okay with it because they're Belgians and they don't know. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text thine program always, 323-538-2423. Check out chadbensonshow.com. Grab your podcast there. For my man Phil, my man Anthony, as always, kids, I bid you all a wonderful do. Night, night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.